Sorry, wait. North West London.
Monday
the
11th.
Monday the 11th of January, Chof Zayin Teves, Rabbi Hillel Simon Schlitter on Hilchas Chala.
Good morning. I'd like to give some of the basics of Hilchas Chala. I'm not taking that much time, but from the Chumash and some practical applications and some interesting conundrums and the solutions for bakeries, my visit for the KLBD. So first of all, it's in the Chumash, of course, B'vayachem al ha'aretz, and the expression used for the mitzvah of taking some of your dough and give it to the kohen is unique among all the mitzvahs at tluyos ba'aretz. In most cases, it's only after they entered Eretz Yisrael and they conquered Eretz Yisrael and divided it, kavshu v'chalku. And here it said, B'vayachem al ha'aretz, the moment they entered, there already was a mitzvah to take some bread, take some dough, and give it to the kohen. What's the expression? Chala tarimu truma. Maybe she's arisa seichem, from the very beginning of your kneading trough, when you're preparing the dough, and we'll see that comes into halakha as well. Chala tarimu truma. And here, perhaps uniquely, straight from the Chumash, you go right away to the bracha that people say when they take some of the dough, the mitzvah of challah. So it says, challah, tarimu truma. The word challah, and therefore, many people say, lahafish challah. And some say, lahafish challah min ha'isa. And Svardim say, lahafish challah teruma. Or even lahafish truma. Because after all, that's what it says in the pasuk, challah, tarimu truma. The expression of truma is used. So there, straight from the pasuk, probably uniquely you have the different ways of saying the bracha when you do the mitzvah lepayel today. So first of all, when is it that you take challah? When you have a dough, it's called the misha tisgalgel. The Rambam seems to have a bit of a dichotomy. On the one hand, he talks about the dough as we need it, as we do today. Take from a dough that's solid, so to speak, and ready to knead. On the other hand, he says, there's a mitzvah the moment the flour touches the water, to take challah. So that's an interesting thing. Well, kalpanim tiskalgam, when you're ready basically to knead the dough, that's when you take some. We're mostly, when it comes to halacha lemaaseh, talking about challahs chutz la'aretz. The challah, even today in Eretz Yisrael, is more chamor. So some of the practices that are completely appropriate for chutz la'aretz, especially when it comes to bakeries, would not be good enough in Eretz Yisrael. So what is it? Which kind of bread, which kind of flour is going to be chayv and challah? So you take a clue from matzah. The same kinds of grains from which you can make matzah and which become chametz. The same thing, same kinds of grain when you make a dough out of them, flour and dough, they are chayv and challah, which in English is wheat and oat and barley, spelt and rye. So it happens, looking a bit into it, there's debates about all these grains. Wheat, we all accept that wheat is wheat. When it comes to oats, there's some question. All these grains are some question. But that we basically, that's the approach. And almost all our flour is wheat. And nowadays, a bit more spelt and some oats. Mm-hmm. And you may notice on the oat matzahs, it says only people who eat, who need to have gluten-free should eat these matzahs. It doesn't say why. And I think it's because there's some question. Are we absolutely sure that oats are really the grain that's in the Chumash, in Lashon HaKodesh? You know, Meschita and Zaira, and different kinds of Shifa and Shabbat Lashul. So we're not 100% sure that oats are really one of those grains. And I think that's why it suggests that these matzahs are only for people who have to have a gluten-free. Because otherwise, you know, why not? I think that's what it is. Nonetheless, we take challah when it's one of those five species. The same for saying mezonos, the same for matzah. That kind of flour. The Maaseh, we're almost always dealing with the flour of wheat. So the halacha is clear. So we talked about when do you take it, when the dough is ready to knead. Right? When you've mixed the flour and water is well mixed, then it's time to take some for the koyim. So how much does it have to be? How much dough? So it comes from the Omer Asir Sa'ifahi. The Torah says when the Yidden gathered the mon, how much mon was it? It was the Omer Asir Sa'ifahi. So we translate that amount, when you make that much dough, that's when it takes challah. Now there are many, many opinions. It comes down to the Chazon Ish, or Chaim Noah, and other calculations and many opinions. So the smallest shear amount of flour, it follows the flour, right? Not, we don't look at whether your dough rose a little bit or is a lot, or you let it rise enormously, or you baked and it rose, all that is not relevant. We think only of the flour. So the smallest shear from which you might have to take challah without a bracha is 2 pounds, under a kilo, just under a kilo. That's the smallest shear I've seen. And I saw so many. That's why I don't try and present a particular amount, because I saw so many shearing. That's the smallest amount.
Sorry, can we say that's the amount of
the flour. If you have 2 pounds of flour, then there's one obscure opinion that says you would already take challah without a bracha. The more common opinion is that you'd have to have just over a kilo, a little over a kilo of flour in the dough.
Without a bracha.
Without a bracha, yes. I'm talking without a bracha.
One and a half kilo, I asked you Spanish earlier. 1/2 kilo is mid-a bracha.
That sounds about right, but again, I don't want to get to precise numbers. You get down to fractions and fractions. If you have 5 pounds of flour, and something that I still think in American terminology, 5 pounds of flour, but a little over 2 kilo, maybe it's 2.2 kilo, that's when you absolutely have to take with a bracha. But you should really go to your rav or your book of shiurim to see exactly how you're going to paskin for yourself. But the lowest one, now why do we care what the lowest one is? Well, there's a problem, not so easily solvable, when people do large challah bakes. They want to have many women or many girls take challah and learn the mitzvah and do the mitzvah of challah and learn how to say the bracha of challah. And there is a big mitzvah right in Shulchan Aruch to make your own challah for Shabbos. Rambam says it's chaval that women have stopped making challah for Shabbos and they buy from bakery. So there's a mitzvah and a good thing to train. However, to take a bracha, you need about 2 kilo, a little over 2 kilo of flour. Quite a big dough. My wife makes 8 medium challahs from her sheer challah, 5 pounds or so of challah. And to have a whole class of 100 women, each one having so much dough, that's difficult. So at least in terms of having some validity to the mitzvah, even though we can't say a bracha, so 2 pounds already, maybe some mitzvah. 2 pounds of flour, maybe already some kind of mitzvah going on. There's still a problem with the bracha. Difficult to solve that problem when you want to teach people to say it fully, and you need a certain shear, and it's a lot of dough. So when you have the right amount of dough, as we say, at least a kilo, or for a bracha, about 2 kilos, according to different opinions, and it's ready to knead, that's called belila ava. I'm assuming now, until now we're talking about belila ava, which means it's a mixture that you have to knead. We are with a K. Not that you knead it, you can knead it. Knead, so you say in Yiddish. I had a teacher, Rabbi Marlal Shalom, and when someone was reading the Gemara incorrectly, you would say, the knakes, the Becker knakes. Saying you're reading it, you're doing like a baker, you're just going, ignoring the actual punctuation, the way you're reading. So that's what you do with the dough, that's what you're supposed to do. And you're chayiv. And that's a clear-cut thing. What arises as a question, and leads to periodic confusion among the kashrus world, the bakeries, the caterers, is a blila raka. What happens when you have a cake? And blila raka means a batter, right? B-A-T-T-E-R, that you pour. And according to almost all opinions, if it's a batter, however much flour there is, you might have 5 pounds of flour, you're making a very big cake. Like in bakeries, they do make a big slab of cake. however much flour it is, according to almost all opinions, you have no chiyuv of taking challah while it's still a loose batter. Only after you bake it. Only after you bake it can you take challah. There is one das yachid who says you could take from the batter. So we have the bakeries that have different traditions, and one famous bakery, they do, or at least two actually, they will take some of the batter, which is nice, but again, the halakha is really, you only take from such a cake after you bake it. When it's baked, that's when they take, and most opinions say, again, think of a bakery. If you ever see a big slab of cake in a bakery from which they cut the orders, most opinions say you take with a bracha. There's a full chiyuv, as long as there's some water, that's another point. The chiyuv of the bracha, along with the right kind of flour, and the right amount of flour. And that it's a dough. The chiyuv of bracha is when there's at least a drop of water, or wine, or the seven mashkin, olive oil, something in there. There's a chiyuv, but only after it's baked. After it's baked, you take challah with the bracha, according to most opinions. But before, you don't. Only after it's baked. If it's a batter that you pour, then only after it's baked.
Not from the dough.
Not because it's loose. It's not really a dough, it's a batter that you can pour. It's a loose batter that you can pour.
Like a sponge cake or something? Not my fresh
cake. A sponge cake.
Yeah.
One sponge cake.
A lady bakes a sponge cake at home.
Well, it's not likely to have enough flour. It's probably going to have one or two cups. So at home, you're rarely going to encounter the situation where one cake has enough flour. They don't. A normal cake has one or two cups of flour. It will never have 5 pounds or even 2 pounds of flour. So at home, it's rare. But where could it come up? So let's say you're preparing for a Shavuot Brachos, or you're preparing for a mitzvah, you're giving out lots of sponge cakes. Lots of people are doing this particular mitzvah nowadays. Either they're selling it and making money, or they're doing a mitzvah of distributing food. So you make 20 sponge cakes. Between the 20 sponge cakes, there is, let's say, 3 pounds of flour, 2 kilo of flour. So each individual cake, there's no chiyuv. While it's a batter, while it's a loose batter, however much it is, you can't take challah. And each individual cake is not chayiv. But then we come to something called siruf sal. There is such a thing as, let's say, 5 small doughs. And you made each one separately, and they're sitting separately, and there's no chiyuv kal. I mean, taking a bit of dough would be meaningless. However, if you combine them in some way, siruf sal means you take a basket, and they all go inside a basket. I won't get into every detail, but if they're all inside the basket, below the surface of the top of the basket, right, then suddenly they become one dough, even if they're not touching. If they're touching, that's another way to combine them. If they're in the same giant basket and not touching, they're combined. With the matzah, in case you have this issue with matzah, where you don't want to take from the dough, so it shouldn't become chametz, so they take after it's matzah already. And they combine it. I've seen one Lubavitcher Rebbe, Susil Yagan Aleinu, taking from the matzahs. So there was a big paper covering many boxes of matzah, and he took from here and there, and maybe there's Kabbalistic things going on as well. I don't know. But Al Kalpanim, they were combined by a big paper covering all the boxes of matzah. Tzir of Sal. So coming back to your sponge cakes, let's say,
matzahs are blila over, isn't it?
Yes, but you might make small amounts. I think the pshat is in the bakeries, they might make a small amount, so it's easy and quick to work with. They make a small dough, so that you can work with it very quickly and get it over with, right? Yeah. So because they're making small amounts of dough, again, you have to combine them somehow for a chiyuv. So coming back to your sponge cake, if you made 10 sponge cakes, and you made them separately, and each one is not a chiyuv challah, but then you wrap them all up in catering, where I work, Bizmancha catering kayam. Yeah. When there's legal events happening at this catering, so they might take a Yorkshire pudding. Have you heard of a Yorkshire pudding? Yeah, a Yorkshire pudding. It was a big deal apparently 20, 25 years ago when they discovered a way to make them pop. For all the English people who were desperate for the Yorkshire pudding, and of course it's something in which you put meat inside. and it was made traditionally by the goyim with milk. So they found a way to use soya milk or something. It was a big oiftu. So now, each one has a tiny bit of flour. Tiny bit of flour puffs up into the soft thing, if you know what a Yorkshire pudding is. But if you fill a whole trolley full of tray after tray after tray of these Yorkshire puddings, and you wrap them up, then suddenly there's a chiyuv challah, because between the whole trolley, there's a lot of flour. So that's something one has to keep track of. So again, if you were to wrap up all your sponge cakes together, or you put them into one drawer of your freezer, not the whole freezer. If they all fit into one drawer of your freezer, that may or may not be practical, but if that was the case, then suddenly they become one, and if there's enough flour in the entire drawer of the freezer, one drawer, or wrapped up in a trolley, then suddenly you're chayav and challah. So that's a tricky, it's something which cannot be simplified that much. Now, so coming back to the basic situation in bakeries. So there's an occasional bakery where you have a frum person there all the time, and they can take challah from every batch of dough. Of course, bakeries make many batches of dough, and they very often are working dafka through the night. So what happens when there's no Jewish person there to take challah, which is the normal situation? So there's a possibility, let's say the owner of the bakery, the owner of the dough, can have someone else take challah. And so what happens is the following. The staff will take a bit of dough from every batch of dough. Right? And we try to keep track as carefully as possible to make sure that according to the number of batches, that's the number of pieces of dough that are sitting in a tray on a shelf. And the Mashkiach comes along once a day or twice a day and takes all of those. So here comes a very important point. Let's come back to the actual physical activity of taking challah. When you have your dough, and it has the right amount of flour, and it's possible to knead it by now, I think women actually do, is after it rises once, then they take challah. Practicalities, I think that might be what's done. Anyway, once it's a dough, you can take challah. You take off, you first of all, you want to identify where you're taking challah from. You decide this particular inch is where you're going to take it from. And you say the bracha according to your custom, ola afrish challah, ola afrish challah mina isa, ola afrish challah truma, whatever your custom is to say the bracha. And then you take it off and you say, harei zeh challah. That's important, that's kriya shei.
Are you taking it off after broch?
Yeah, so first you identify what you're taking from, then you say the bracha, and then you take it off and you say, harei zeh challah. That's called kriya shei. Now when a woman at home, and it's especially the woman's mitzvah, I just saw last night from the Ben Ish Chai that in a household where the woman takes the challah, once a year the man should take challah. He should have the mitzvah begufay. Mostly the woman is ishtar kegufay, and she does it, her special mitzvah, it certainly is. But as an Indian, take once a year. Okay, that's, I just saw it, I'm telling you. It is such an Indian to do it yourself. That's called kriya shein. Now when a woman, let's say it's usually a woman, is physically taking it off, and she has it in mind, the kriya shein is appropriate, but not so vital. Not so vital. This is obviously the challah. When it comes to a bakery, and I visit a bakery, then it's crucial, because I'm not physically taking it off, so what am I doing? So it's very crucial when you say, harei zeh challah, that's the key. It's the moment that I pick up the dough, and I say, harei zeh challah, you know, that makes a challah. Otherwise, well, I'm not really being mafrish. So you take challah, it's a challah.
So who's making the bracha then in that scenario?
So I say the bracha. I say the bracha, and I say harei zeh challah. But it's crucial, the kriya shein is crucial, since I'm not physically taking it off, it's quite crucial to say harei zeh challah, dedicating as challah.
Why do we take it off?
Because I'm not there all day long. They're making the doughs all day long. So the staff, who are usually not Jewish, they could be Jewish as well, they take a bit of dough off from every batch and put it aside. And I come once or twice a day.
So how can you rely on the goy doing
it? Well, it has to be...
There's a process.
It's fine for the non-Jew to take it off physically.
No.
How can you be sure he'll do it?
Yeah.
We keep track of the numbers of dough. It's not... I'll tell you, there's another eight to dough. It goes far.
You said the bracha should be said before you take off.
So if you're at home... That's what you do. But if not, if you're taking it as say in a bakery where it's been taken off already, you say the bracha, you say arei zechala. But there's another important point here. The din is of chalas chutz la'aretz. That it's perfectly okay if I have 10 doughs. I have 10 doughs in a room, right? There's 10 doughs lying around. Or even for that matter, it's also okay, as we talked about the matzah, where they bake it first on purpose. In chutz la'aretz, you can bake it first, you can even eat half of the challah first. In other words, I baked 8 challahs, you can eat 4, and then take challah. Chutz la'aretz, you can do that. So when it comes to a bakery, even if they forgot to take one challah from one, it's perfectly okay to take challah from one dough for the sake of the other dough. So if they took off from 6 and there's another 2 around, that's also okay. The only issue would be, if one dough they forgot, and it was all sold and all eaten, then that's chaval. Yeah, now it's lovely to have a from person in the bakery all day long take a challah. I'm not saying that, but that would be lovely. It's just not the metzias. There are one or two places it is, but generally that's just extremely difficult to achieve. What do you do with the dough? Coming back to the physical gashmis process, just a few more minutes.
You haven't tell us how much. You haven't
tell us how much. Oh, how much? Right. So there's a minhag of taking a kezias, which is about 1 ounce of dough. There's another minhag of taking gebeta, which is about 2 ounces of dough. And the chiyuv is any amount at all, even the smallest amount. And in different cases that arise of a suffix, you can take any small amount. There is an opinion, because nowadays, what I'm about to say is, what do you do with the dough? At home, you burn the dough. You burn it either on the gas fire, if you have a gas fire, or in the oven by itself. Right, put it on a piece of foil, and by itself in the oven. You don't want to bake the piece that's challah with everything else, because it's forbidden to eat. Some things, in our day and age, we don't have hektish going on. Right? You don't pronounce anything as hektish, or we don't have karbonos till the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. But this challah is holy. You can't eat it because it's kadosh, not because it's pasul and tamei and something terrible about it. On the contrary, it's sanctified. It's kadosh, this piece of dough. And therefore, you can't bake it with the other things. You don't want it to affect the other things in the oven. So you do it by itself. On a piece of foil, so it shouldn't go straight on the rack either. And you burn that up either, right? Or even better, on the flame, on the gas. It's a bit messy, but that you could do. Now, if that's not convenient, and again, what we do in bakeries, in almost every bakery, you wrap it up a couple times, but they're covered, and you put it in the bin. You put it in the bin, not kalacha yad. It says in Tanya that Hashem supports all the forces of evil in the world. Right? We believe that God creates everything, and even the forces of evil, but he gives them, like, throws it over his shoulder, unwillingly, unhappily. So when you throw away the dough, you shouldn't do it with that attitude, get rid of it. You should do it with wishing that you could give it to the Kohen. Nowadays we can't give it to the Kohen. You should give it with honor and wishing that you could give it to the Kohen. Right? You can tell, even within myself, I can tell the difference, you know, how I'm putting it in. It's happening inside in your heart and in your soul. You're wishing you could give it to the Kohen, right? You're not throwing it away, b'bizayon. Yes.
Why am I allowed to burn the Mammon Kohen? It belongs to a Kohen somewhere else.
So unfortunately, we can't give it to the Kohen. It's also Tamei.
So allow it to rot or something. Why should I burn it?
It's interesting.
Destroying it. I'm destroying it, but it'd be a dime.
There are, in the Rambam, in the Hilchas Truma, and Chala, but even more Truma, many, many examples where you burn it, and then examples where you don't burn it. You're right. Any kinds of suffix, you just leave it. Yeah. In this case, we do know it's tummy. We're all tummy now. So this dough is for sure tummy. Chalas chutzlards.
Burning, you can't burn it, but burning you get a benefit from, no? Isn't that a problem?
If you burn it?
You get a benefit.
How?
Kohen used to burn it because he used to use it for heat.
So that was true of olive oil, yes. That was...
Yeah, all kind of truma. No, there's certain part of trumas we should burn, you know, because if you can't use it for anything else,
yeah.
Then the Kohen burns it in order to...
Truma tzmeya, he would burn. Yeah, again, it was mostly all burning olive oil.
Whatever, yeah.
But in this case, you can't eat it.
So when you...
There is actually challah chutz la'aretz. And there's this obscure example. I just want to make sure I get through the key things before we give the ice cream on the cake.
Okay.
Some key things here. Yeah, it does mention a couple of segulas. It doesn't say this on the Svarim. Some of the Svarim tells you that there's a segula for baking challah for a woman to daven for an easy birth. So a woman might especially make challah, even if they can't manage every week. They'll make challah before close to giving birth. The Boston Rebbe, Shlita, told my wife, because my daughter got married, and my daughter was davening in a shul, so the Boston Rebbetzin, living in Flatbush, told my wife that she should bake challah on the morning of the chasana. Right? There's nothing else to do on the morning of the chasana, but she did. And Baruch Hashem, we had a son married a few weeks ago, and my wife got up early in the morning, on the same day of the chasana, it's easier with the son, and she baked challah again. So that's a skula I heard from the Boston Rebbetzin. In Svarim I've seen about for an easy birth, baking challah. It's a time to daven while you're holding the challah in your hand. I saw a quote recently to say brachas before shlema, which I do for shidduchim and before shlema. Not everyone I know, but at the time of taking challah, that's while you're holding the dough. So we say either you burn it by itself or you wrap it up and put it in the bin. Fine. That's the key. We can come back to what we were talking about. People say Shibana Mes Hamikdash, Yiratzon Melech Shibana Sabit Shavhei Yameinu, because we're wishing for the full mitzvah of giving it to the Kohen, as I said before. Oh yes, the one time, so we have 1 minute, one more idea. There is such a thing as eating challah, Kohen eating challah, chutz laretz, and it comes up, or it could come up, or it's in the past several generations, as opposed to Bizman Shemiz HaMikdash Kayam. But in our sort of part of history, you would want to give a Kohen Katan the challah to eat. So when it comes to this eating challah, chutz laretz, it's actually okay to be Tamei Meis. We're all Tamei Meis. We've all been to a graveyard, or touch someone that went to a graveyard, or something that's been there, one way or another, we're all Tamei Meis. However, in fact, the challah that we take in Chutz Laretz, you could eat when you're Tamei Meis. It's only Tuma Shiyotza Lav Mikufay. It's only a body, a Balkeri basically, or a Zav, and a Balkeri that cannot eat challah Chutz Laretz. So therefore, a small katan, a katan, let's say, of 8 years old, a Kayan katan, could, in theory, eat challah chutz laretz. We don't do it on a regular basis. But Shulchan Aruch talks at length how Erev Pesach, where you have an issue, you want to take challah from the dough, then you have a problem that's going to become chametz, so you want to bake it right away, and you can't bake it. Yeah, so it works out, on Erev Pesach, you would want to have someone eat it, and you could actually give it to a Kohen Katan. You can give the 8-year-old Kohen the matzah, the dough, Erev Pesach to eat. There's one example where a person would actually eat it. But normally they say, and the minhag, including even Erev Pesach, is to dafka, to burn that bit of challah. Again, in the pigs, Erev Pesach, you cannot put it in the bin, right? If you take your dough and you put it in the bin, it's going to become chametz. You're in tzaros. So you have to dafka burn it. Well, there are other tricks to do we don't need to dwell upon. But to be a tikkun, the woman baking challah is a tikkun, because it's Adam and Chava. Chava was, she's Batami Chalasa Shalaylam. So there's a tikkun, should be a tikkun for the whole world, as Hashem, baking challah.